Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Hello all and welcome to this Friday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7. I'm Ben Pascuzzi and joined alongside me we have Michael again, who's also on the Monday show. And we've got Neve, who's now a permanent member of the Sports Desk for Season 1.
Neve, congrats.
Thank you, it feels good.
Feels good.
That
introduction just gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? Wow.
Just gets you pumped up. I think I picked the right song, maybe.
I think you did. Absolutely. We were like throwing the air, you know, drumsticks around, and we had the air guitar going.
Good sports commentary as well, so it's always good. So
absolutely.
Massive show anyway today.
I didn't recognize that voice, yeah.
Yeah, bit of casual Friday today. We're going to talk a bit of AFL. Got cricket. The BBL finals are heating up, and what an upset it was last night with the Hurricanes defeating the Scorchers. It's a bit of tennis. Davis Cup starts this weekend, actually, and obviously Bernard Tomic escaping the jungle. There's still a lot of lingering chat about that. There's also some basketball. Another all-star from LeBron James's team has been injured again, so there's a bit of a curse there. And we'll talk about F1 grid girls and also the darts. The girls are banned from, or not banned, they're no longer going to be.
Girls are banned from darts.
the grid.
Only electronic darts now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're no longer part of the entertainment, I guess you could say. Well, anyway, let's get on a brighter note, and the AFLW starts today.
Wow.
Exciting.
Are we going to get the bumper crowds that were expected last season? I think that's the biggest question. And
Carlton staff tonight are preparing for 22,000.
22,000.
So that's 2,500 less than they got last year, but I think they don't want to be too presumptuous and assume it's going to be a lockout, but I think it'll pretty much be a lockout.
I mean, it's a beautiful day in Melbourne, which we're not always expecting. So it's going to be a lovely night for the football. And the first outing for both of these teams this season. So it's going to be a huge clash. And it was so successful last year. However, the crowd numbers did drop off towards the end of last season. So I suppose that is a little bit of a concern. However, with the new Perth Stadium as well and Fremantle kicking off proceedings next week there. That's going to be a massive game. I really like the scheduling this year. I really like the fixtures. And even Norwood Oval in Adelaide, where the AFLX is also going to be trialled as well. Quite a nice stadium. So
what's the capacity there?
15,000.
So not
that's
as big,
perfect.
But a nice probably round number. It'll make the crowd the sounds of the crowd at least feel, you know.
But that's what you want though. You don't want obviously Perth's going to sell out, but you don't want to have the games pretty much played on these major grounds like later on in the season as much, because especially if the crowd numbers are dwindling, you'd much rather prefer a full 20,000, 15,000 stadium, even like any sport pretty much. You prefer that over an empty MCG, for example.
Oh, that's right.
But the grand final, no doubt, still has got to be played at the G, for example. If they can bring that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think if they can fill the new Perth Stadium, then playing it somewhere like Etihad wouldn't be out of the question, given that they're pretty similar in size.
Absolutely. And they did play at Etihad Stadium in the past when the Curtin Raiser
the Doggies
in Melbourne. So it's worked in the past. It'd certainly work in the future. I know they had the grand final last year at Metricom Stadium, which there was a little bit of controversy over that. But, you know, at the end of the day...
A lot of controversy.
A lot of controversy. I think a little bit is to say the least.
Yeah.
But pretty much any team that does come first does have that right to host the grand final, and I think they're definitely entitled to do that. So, but it is going to be a big season. There is a lot of hype around, particularly around the trades. Of course, this is the first season where a lot of trades, you know, have been happening, and a lot of the women have been moving from club to club. Particularly Taylor Harris. I know there's been a lot of salt over that. And
I feel like it's all put on though, because like Caitlin Ashmore and Taylor Harris are really close, and so it was funny to read the thing being like, oh, we're going to keep that rubbish out. Like, I think it was pretty tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. Like, if you go on Instagram, do a bit of research, I reckon. Anyone.
Instagram's a good place to do some research, particularly in these matters with friends. And I'm sure it's just a bit of friendly banter.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting how Carlton, because Carlton offloaded Nat Exon and Bella Ayres, who is a Rising Star nominee, to Brisbane, and then Bianca Jacobson to Melbourne. And I just feel really... I was a bit sad when Bianca Jacobson got traded because she grew up barracking for Carlton and got to wear... Oh, I can't remember who the player was, but she got to wear his number and stuff like that, and then ended up getting like traded in her second season, which is a bit rough. But I think it's more Carlton's loss than hers, really, because she's a pretty good player. Like, she's so speedy and she has really good endurance as well. Towards the end of games, especially when it's getting hot, and if you are playing somewhere like Brisbane or Perth in the middle of the day.
Yeah, or even Alice Springs if they go there this year again as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think she'll really benefit Melbourne because sometimes they couldn't really close out games as well as they want.
That's very true.
So I think, although it's sad for her, like, not being able to play for a childhood club, I think it's more Carlton's loss than hers.
Well, I do wonder what will happen if Melbourne do play at Casey Fields this year and there's like another flood or something. We'll see if she can handle it. However,
she's good in wet weather.
Yeah, yeah. Well, typical Melbourne weather, but she'll get used to the rigours of Melbourne weather. But certainly Melbourne playing interstate, she'll certainly benefit from having that experience elsewhere in the past. But of course, yeah, the big game tonight is going to be Carlton and Collingwood. 7:45 it kicks off, so definitely get down to that.
Gates open at 6.
At 6.
Take public transport.
Nice and early, and get public transport there. I think the 19 tram goes past, so get there. It'll be a great spectacle again, and a beautiful night. Who are you guys tipping for this one?
Carlton
again.
You got to go Carlton.
Carlton,
I think they're too strong, especially they've got like obviously Bree Davey, their best and fairest winner from last year. Now their captain.
Inspirational.
She's too good, and she can play either down back or she's been really effective in the midfield in the past, Carlton kind of had to use
a strong body as well.
Yeah, and she's pretty tall, I think. I feel like she's the same height as me, and I'm pretty tall. So
You are pretty tall. You're taller than me.
And so I think she can be used as like a big-bodied midfielder as well. But they had to play her back a lot of the time off the rebound last season. But now that they've got Nick Stevens from Collingwood, who was Collingwood's best and fairest winner, to play down back. I think that'll help. Like, that'll give them... I think Davey will still play down back a lot of the time, but it gives them the option to be able to throw her into the midfield and kind of, like, cause some carnage there.
Absolutely.
And they have Darcy Vecchio and Taylor Harris up forward. So
I was going to say, I'm very intrigued to see how that forward line's going to work this season.
That'll be good.
They're both absolute superstars and both kicked a lot of goals for their respective clubs last season. So it's going to be interesting to see just how powerful Carlton's forward line's going to be and how much ball they get in the forward line. So, I think Carlton are going to be strong favourites tonight. I'd be very interested to see how Mo Hope goes this season because she was one of the most marketed players last season, of course, being such an outstanding player when they had a lot of the curtain raisers.
Yeah.
Really didn't live up to the hype. I don't know whether
she was carrying
an injury
the whole time. Yeah, she had a knee injury and she didn't play in the VFLW till, like, the VFLW now starts in May just to give the players, like, a rest between comps. And she didn't play still for the first month. And I don't think she played till... It's just off the top of my head, so please don't get angry at me. But I think it wasn't until, like, June or July that she ended up playing. And so, but at the same time, like, she was working really hard in the gym. She's lost 8 kilos, I think. So, Shredding for summer.
A lot of the players are shredding this season.
Yeah, it's good. My favourite thing was reading that Isabel Huntington was like lighting up the track, and I was like, finally, like, girls can light up the track and train the house down too, like in the middle of preseason when there's no news.
But right when the sun is shining.
Yeah, exactly. I think Mo Hope is. She should be better. I think it was unfortunate what happened for her last season because, she was so heavily marketed, especially like with her book and stuff coming out.
Oh, exactly.
And then she didn't really live up to the hype, but she was carrying an injury. And now that she's obviously stronger and fitter and, fingers crossed, uninjured, it'll be nice to see her back to her best, I reckon.
Absolutely. And at full fitness in the second season, she's been around before. She knows what the competition is like. She knows what to expect. So.
And she got double-teamed as well.
So often.
And I think it'll be good for her as well because Jasmine Garner has also lost a bunch of weight and got a heap fitter. She kicked 4 or 5 goals in the State of Origin and she'll be playing up forward for Collingwood as well. So now they've got, like, defenders will have to worry about Mo and Jazzy Garner.
Yeah.
So it'll, like, kind of like, I think it'll alleviate some of the pressure off her. Absolutely. And, like, they'll be both playing better. But I just don't think Collingwood have gone, and they've got Chloe Milloy as well, so. Like, they've kind of, so they've got a good forward line, I think, but the midfield and the back line isn't, like, crazy good. And they lost Nick Stevens and Alicia Eva. And like kind of leadership, but they've kind of gone for youth. So I think in a couple of years they'll be good, but I don't think they're really going to. Happy to be proven wrong, but I don't think they're going to do too much this season.
Yeah, I think Carlton will back up their performance from last year tonight. We go to Saturday's match at Casey Fields. Just the Casey Fields we're talking about. Look, the weather's looking nice, so we don't expect that you need to take along your snorkels or anything like that. It's looking pretty good. Melbourne are up against GWS now. Of course, to recap a bit of history from last season, of course, Melbourne would be out for revenge in this match because they did lose to GWS, who only managed to take one scalp last year and happened to be Melbourne.
Yeah.
And Melbourne happened to lose their spot in the finals.
Yeah, both the men's and women's Melbourne teams missed, like, the finals by, like, the slimmest margin. So it's pretty funny.
The men's was hilarious. Yeah. They all thought they were in finals. Yeah. They lose to Collingwood and then West Coast thump Adelaide in the last match of the season.
Well, when this Melbourne supporter cut me off on the road yesterday, today, and I thought of that when he kind of went past me, and I was like, could be worse, good bag for Melbourne. So,
And I mean, being an Essendon supporter, I did want Melbourne to win because that would have meant we probably would have played Port Adelaide, and that we could have gotten an extra round. I would have been happy to travel to Adelaide. Well, maybe not happy to travel to Adelaide, but I would have. It would have been nicer if the results went our way. But anyway, moving on. Melbourne GWS. This will be an intriguing match. Of course, GWS. They were pretty poor last season, but they did have a lot of injury troubles, and they do pick up some nice inclusions this season. So they should be better for the long run, I think.
Yeah, I reckon. Melbourne, I think, have the expectation to do extremely well. Mm. I think GWS are going to be better. Like, I don't think they'll get steamrolled on Saturday, but I would be surprised if Melbourne didn't win.
I think,
like, GWS has a new coach in Alan McConnell, and he said he was, like, super excited to see them play on Saturday. And they did beat Brisbane in their practice match as well. They thumped them. They played five quarters because the coaches agreed to, like, do some more fitness stuff, which could have, like, helped, and Brisbane played, like, younger players as well. But at the same time, like, going from the Wooden Spooners beating the minor premiers by 50-something points is still pretty impressive.
Plenty of good signs there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think they've got, like, they've got Alicia Eva, who left Collingwood, up to GWS, and she is, like, she coached the Calder Cannons girls' side, and she was Coach of the Year and all that sort of stuff. So she's really good leader, really good for all the young girls up there. So
they'll definitely need that leadership.
They'll
be better, but
I don't think they'll be a threat.
No, and I think Melbourne, you know, being the best Victorian performing side last season, they're certainly going to be right up there again. And, I mean, if you've got one of the best players, you know, in the league, being Daisy Pearce, you know, leading your side, not too often you're going to be having really poor results. So they, of course, besides the GWS performance last season, but they've just got so many good All-Australian players in that team. You know, the likes of Melissa Hickey, Karen Paxman, and even Elise O'Day. O'Day. Good. I'm glad I got that right. But they've got a really good squad there, and they'll probably be close to the best performing Victorian side again, you'd almost think.
Yeah, they should be, I think.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be taking that one. Of course, we move to Saturday night at the 15,000 Norwood Oval capacity stadium, which will be interesting. And, of course, it's the grand final rematch, which I'll be very intrigued to see just how much fire is in the belly of the Brisbane Lion women. I do want to see how they perform in this game because they only lost by 6 points in the grand final.
Yeah, and if it had gone for a couple more seconds, Sabrina Frederick-Torb would have got a holding the ball free kick and she could have evened it up.
She
kicked a goal, but they didn't blow the whistle till after the siren, so it didn't count. So I reckon she'll be mad.
She'll be out for some revenge.
Three massive marks. I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, I'm tipping her to take a big hanger at Kiapa. I reckon she might. She'll do
no
very
pressure.
Well. Yeah, no pressure at all if you're listening, Sabrina. But yeah, no, I think she'll have a good game. But yeah, Adelaide will of course unveil their premiership flag, which
I'll
be very,
if that
very
doesn't
happy
put
to
any
do.
Fire in the belly of Brisbane, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing that. After being so close.
Close. Oh, gee, that will drive them nuts, I reckon. But, yeah, Adelaide led by, you know, the all-amazing skipper who, well, I mean, what can't she do? I mean, she was even looking at the Winter Olympics at one stage.
Erin Phillips.
Erin Phillips, just incredible.
What was she going to do in the Winter Olympics?
I actually don't know.
Anything she wanted.
She really could have done anything she wanted. She could have done snowboarding. She probably even could have done bobsledding. Like a solo bobsled. Like she can play every sport, I think.
Well, now she's pretty much cut all ties of basketball. She, obviously, she's still coaching, but she's not playing anymore.
She's not gonna play
anymore. Now she's had a full preseason under her belt. So if she's won everything last year after playing basketball, now she's had a full preseason for footy. She's chiseled down a bit. The opportunities and the possibilities are endless. It's just
the
ridiculous.
Roof is so high.
She took everything, so will she take everything again this year?
Mm. I mean, if she stays on the park for the entire season, she's completely committed now.
Yeah.
Scary. It is very scary. What's your prediction for tonight, guys, in Adelaide?
Saturday night,
big.
Probably Adelaide, I think so.
Yeah, we know the Adelaide crowds get quite rowdy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
For all codes. So, look, I'm probably going to tip Adelaide here, but really not by too much, I don't think.
I think it would be unfortunate if it was.
I've got the upset.
You've got the upset?
Yeah, I'm a fan, so I've got to.
Yeah, you've got to tip.
Stick with the girls.
If I'm never sure, I always tip against my team, because then at least if we lose, I get my tip right.
Yeah, I know.
That's
right.
That's good.
You both tipped Adelaide, so I've got to go against
always,
you guys.
Always tip against Essendon when I do my tips. So, yeah. No, I do hope Brisbane gummer. Now, the final match for the round will be the Doggies up against Fremantle at the VU Witten Oval. Got to love that, being right next to VU. Now, of course, this will be interesting because the Western Bulldogs were pretty disappointing last season. There was a lot expected of them. Going into the season, being one of those clubs that were around right at the very start. So, but they will have Katie Brennan, who hopefully will be. You can stay on the park for longer this season because she didn't play too much in comparison to a lot of her other teammates. Interesting.
Yeah. No, she had a bad injury and she was like, I think, trying really hard to get back. She was doing all this like weird rehab stuff in like a heat chamber or something on Instagram or something like that.
Wow.
And I know, it was pretty nuts. And we just completely over relied on like Carney and Blackburn to push forward and kick goals when that's not what they do. They collect disposals and they push the ball forward. And we just didn't really have a target up forward. But now we've got Brennan back, we've got Isabel Huntington as well. Jenna Button in the midfield, and she was St Kilda Sharks' best and fairest winner over Bree Davey in the VFLW season. Just gone. She's really good. I'm trying to think. We've got a bunch.
Yeah, just to
we've
recap.
We've got Deanna Berry now from Melbourne, who was part of that big Taylor Harris trade.
Yeah.
And she'll be able to play up forward as well. So there's a lot going. I think it's going to be better because and Astro O'Connor's looking fitter as well again. So that'll be good down back. And then up forward, we seem to have more of a forward structure.
Now, of course, you're saying we, so you're a big doggy supporter, of course,
Niamh.
Yep, definitely. Absolutely.
I can't not say we. I try really hard not to, and then it just slips out.
And, I mean, you did almost go the wins in all the different codes when, of course, the Doggies won in 2016. I think you won the VFL. I think you won obviously won the AFL Grand Final, and then you got pretty close to the AFL. Did they do an AFLW that season? I'm just trying to think. They might have just done
there was an exhibition
raiser.
Game and we won that one.
And you won that, so you won three leagues. Oh, that's pretty good. You may be able to do that again this season. You just
that
never
would be
know.
Nice.
Just never know. Never know.
It's too good. We're not accustomed to winning. That's why last season was like, oh, okay, it's fine.
And then a bit of a hangover, unfortunately.
Yeah, with the men's and the women's. It was like, disappointing, haven't lived up to expectations.
That's
right. I was like, oh, I've heard that for 20 years. Like,
yeah, a bit of hype, but yeah, exactly. As long as there's not a 50-year gap between the next premiership, that's the main thing. 56 years. We can only hope that there's another one in our lifetime. But that'll be an interesting clash. I'm going to tip the Doggies in this one at home. Fremantle... Yeah, weren't that good last season, but their captain was amazing. She did extremely well.
Yeah,
but
Cara Donnellan.
Yeah, exactly, Cara O'Donnellan. So I think the Doggies in this one.
Yep. I think Bulldogs.
I think we're all set on the Doggies. Trip. And just before we get to a song, there will be one significant rule change, and I think it's going to probably benefit the AFLW games. So it's going to be the last disposal out of bounds rule, which should open up the game a little bit and really kind of showcase the running ability of the women, because as we've been saying, they've been training the house down in this preseason like never before. So it'll be more exciting. It'll be more free flowing and hopefully less congested, which we did see a lot of last season.
They tried it in the sample men's and apparently it works well. And they also used to do it like in the early 20th century.
Oh, wow.
I believe. It was either early 20th or late 19th or something like that. And it was to, yeah, stop. Originally, it was to stop people fighting on the throw-ins. Huh. But and then it helped kind of push everything along as well. So it's not like a new concept, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Bringing back the old.
Yeah, well, and they used to do 16 aside as well, which is what they're doing in the women's. So the women's is actually extremely traditional.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is almost like an old soccer rule. And then on top of that, it's I think the AFL is going to be doing something similar to this as well.
I don't
want to
talk about AFL.
Yeah, yeah, let's not talk about that too much.
You're listening to the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7 with Ben, Neve and Michael. And now, after a very in-depth AFLW preview, we're going to be getting stuck into the BBL because the BBL finals, both the men's and women's, are currently taking place. And two of them, in fact, took place yesterday. And we'll start off with the men's because the Hobart Hurricanes have pulled off the upset of the season.
The Canes. Wow. Did you guys see this coming? Particularly at the first BBL game that they've played at the Optus Stadium. I'll tell you what, the Optus Stadium is starting to become the ground of upsets, the ground of the away teams. I think the only home team to win there was in the WBBL. All the other home sides so far, and in all fairness, I've only been two. But I tell you what, I think they should rename it to the Telstra Stadium. There's been that many problems with the home sides trying to get up. But this is just incredible, and this was totally unexpected, really. I mean, the Perth Scorchers, like they do every season, they come out to play. Whatever kind of total they make, how large or how small, they're able to defend it. But, of course, Hobart Hurricanes batting first, a score for 4 for 210. That is a mammoth score. Wow.
Well, I think, hang on, what's it called? Matthew Wade.
Matthew Wade.
He finally I was going to say something. I've just completely forgotten what I was going to say. It'll come back to me. Matthew Wade, incredible at the start. 71 Wadey. Runs off 45 balls. And it's good to see him finally turn up.
I know.
The BBL this season. That's right. Now I remember what I was going to say. With the Perth Stadium, I actually thought the Hurricanes were a bit of a sniff here because we know how Perth, the Scorchers are so dominant at the Wacker. So it's just like, all right, Hurricanes, they got a bit of an opportunity here at the new Optus Stadium. Yep. But I didn't think they were going to win by 71
runs. 71
runs. I thought they were a chance. I thought they were a strong chance to win, but
maybe by an over or something. But
yeah. Well, anyway, back to the match. I finally got what I needed to say.
That was brilliant.
Started off with Wade, 71 runs, and then McDermott and Christian, we were just talking about earlier, they put on, I think it was around an 80-run partnership for the fourth wicket. And
which is just very phenomenal, in particularly short format. Just phenomenal. And did you guys ever expect that there would be two wicketkeepers opening the batting? That's something that I would not have thought would go. I reckon that's a first in at least BBL.
Some kind of cricket trivia.
We're gonna do some research. Of course, Neve being our statistician, she's gonna have a little look into it.
She's just been handed the role right.
Sorry to put you on the spot, Neve.
Yeah,
I mean, really, the only kind of contribution that's notable from the Perth Scorchers as far as bowling is concerned was a big Brit, Timmy Bresnan. Which got 2 for 40, but I think the real victim in this game was, believe it or not, Mitchell Marsh.
They targeted him from the start.
Now, he opened up the bowling, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise tactic, and maybe probably not the best tactic, because usually, of course, the absolute rip snorterer, Mitchell Johnson, always takes the new pill, and he does, well, extremely well. He's one of the fast. He's still fast bowler. It's incredible.
Everyone's scared of him.
Everyone's scared of him. I'm scared of him. he seems so nice off
I'd
the field.
I'd hope
you're
scared of him. Jeez.
Wow.
Otherwise, he'd be playing cricket for Australia.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting back in. But you would have thought that they would have started with a quicker option. If not, if you're going to go a slower option, you know, start with a spinner. But they went with Mitch Marsh, which is kind of medium pace,
he's not very imposing.
No,
exactly. Like you're saying with Mitch Johnson, it's like you see him, you're like, oh god, there he is.
There he is.
As opposed to like Mitch Marsh, you're like, hello. Yeah.
But do you really want to start a T20 though, like with a medium fast?
No.
Like you either start with an extreme pace or, like you said, a spin bowler. So starting with him, that was an interesting tactic. So well, I guess they got.
Did not pay off what they deserved.
Did not pay off. He bowled 4 overs for 53 runs. Didn't even get a wicket. And that's one of the third
Mills-like performance. One might say.
It is. And the most ironic part, of course, Neve.
Mills not bowling for the Canes.
Not bowling for the Canes. And
they smashed it. So
and they have one of their biggest
his replacement. His replacement, Tommy Rogers, took 3 for 31 off four overs. And I wasn't able to watch the start of the run chase for the Scorchers, but I was listening on the radio, and all they were talking about was, "Oh, this is an interesting selection. I'm not sure about him. Not sure about giving him another over because I think he may have got was it like none for seven off the first or something." And then all of a sudden, picks up three wickets. So massive in wickets for the Hurricanes. And
exactly. And a big call to leave out Cameron Boyce, who has been a very handy spinner for him. Played, I think, every game of the season or something like 40 games in a row. So he has played a lot. And but they went with Clive Rose, and he bowls pretty well, you know.
He's good.
He's very, I don't know, I don't like his hair. I think that's shocking, but
it's working for him. It's
working for him. It doesn't get in his way. So
exactly. He keeps it out of his eyes. It's all good. Isn't his hair like trending on Twitter or something?
I think it is. It might even come to me in a dream.
Yeah,
it could have, but he could have his own Instagram account, like his hair, his standalone hair might
have
true.
There probably is some like parody account for it.
God, you'd hope so. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I was pleased for the Hurricanes.
I was very pleased for the Hurricanes. And we were just saying before we went back on air that, believe it or not, the three teams that are remaining in the competition, of course, the Scorchers and the Renegades will play off. I think it's tonight.
Yeah, good on the Scorchers, eh?
Strikers, sorry. The Adelaide Scorchers.
Scorchers, I mean, going again.
Still work because Adelaide gets some pretty warm conditions, you know.
Scorchers get two teams. Wow.
Getting close to Ceduna or on the Nullarbor Plain. But no, the Strikers, believe it or not, haven't won a BBL because they were very dominant a couple of seasons ago. But
they were dominant last season. They went out to get
past. Very dominant
last
season. They were very stiff not to get past. And but yeah, so the Scorchers only made 139, didn't even bat out the full 20 overs. They only managed 17. The only real highlight was Timmy Bresnan, 43 runs. And Dan Christian, great with the ball. Didn't bowl that much this season, but kind of came towards the death if they were in a little bit of strife. And figures at 4 for 17, very good by them. We're going to quickly move to the preview of the Renegades and the Adelaide Strikers. Got it right there. I tell you what, the Renegades actually bet the Strikers at home this season, so I think the Renegades would be pretty confident going into this clash, guys.
I think the only thing is that the Renegades players haven't been released from the T20 squad, whereas the Strikers players have been.
Yeah, Travis Head, I think he's
Yeah, Travis
been
Head's
named.
Coming back.
Is Stanlake and Kerry been named in the squad? I don't know if they have been. We're going to do a little check on that, but to my knowledge, I don't think they have. So they are losing a little bit of depth there. But even still, I've really been impressed with their spinner. I think, is it Rashid Khan?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's been really impressive. And particularly, I think it was against the Thunder. He brought out some of the most bizarre shots. He's just a real entertaining package. And there's been a lot of great players this season from Afghanistan who have came over and actually performed really well. So he's been one of those who I've been really impressed to watch. But what's your tip for this one, Neve? Do you think the Strikers can perform at home?
Yeah, I think so. I think the safe bet is with the Strikers. That's what I'm going to do. Because I think, getting Travis Head back is better for them. And Renegades still, like, they've had a few times where they've just come undone a bit too easily.
They have, haven't they?
And so I would probably bet on Adelaide. Put my tip there.
Put your tip there, yeah. I feel like Adelaide might win this one. But I got to say, when the Renegades were playing, I think it was the Heat in the final game, they were impressive.
And that was with Cam White, without Cam
without
White.
Cam White's coming back. Been really impressive, their opener, Short as well. So I don't know if he's related to Darcy.
He's not.
He
did get interviewed on The Boundary and he said, We're not related.
Gee whiz. Good on him, you know, proud. It's just like, no, my Short family's better than yours, you know. But plenty of Short families around, that's for sure. But very, very impressive. And of course, the two Jamaican boys as well, doing very, very nicely as well. Of course, big Chiron. And I think Bravo as well. They've been performing very well as well. And they keep it entertaining. I love their celebrations after they get a wicket. Very, very impressive. But, yeah, I feel like the Strikers are going to be pretty hard to beat at home.
Yeah, Strikers for me also. And then the women's.
In the women's BBL.
Yesterday it was the Scorchers losing again to the Sixers. The Sixers won after making 5 for 124. Scorchers were 7 for 117. Weren't able to chase down the Sixers score there. So Sixers move into another final, I believe it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
They won by 7 runs there. Our predictions for the next match?
Well, isn't the next match Sixers and Strikers tonight?
I think it might be.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, no, I've got here. Oh, hang on. Ignore.
Yes, I think the score.
I've read the wrong score.
That's I think this. Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's all right.
It's been a long way.
The Sixers are playing the Hurricanes.
First week of the season. Yeah. Now Sixers are playing Strikers in Adelaide. Oh. They lost.
Strikers.
Sixers lost. Both Sixers. They finished above Strikers on the ladder.
You know what I've got on? I've got the Rebel WBBL. I've got last season's one. That's what
I was going to say. Did you forget it's 2018?
Yeah. Wow.
It's good.
It's only February, so we can excuse exactly. you now. If it was June or July, yeah, I'd be like, Ben, it's 2018.
I clicked on the link and it's like, okay, here we go. Yes, Sixers and Strikers.
Yes,
wow.
Sixers and Strikers. Scorchers won. Scorchers yesterday. And thrashed the Thunder last night.
Yeah,
by,
smashed them.
I think it was like. What is it, 27?
27 runs, yeah.
In my head, I was thinking about 70 from the other game. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Also as well, we're just a little bit surprised that a Perth team actually won at Optus Stadium. I think we're just all just genuinely surprised. There you go. So the only one
the
to do it. So the men can't do it yet,
so
but the women
Freo
certainly are leading
in
the charge.
Round two for the AFLW, put on Freo. It's the women's teams.
I think it's the women's teams. It's the women's home ground. I think it is. By the way, guys, are they going to call this one the Furnace as well, or are they going to?
I hope so.
Embrace a different name.
Oh, this is funny. On Facebook, they're actually talking about nicknames for the stadium. I'm not sure if you've stayed in tune in this, but one of the nicknames, if you've ever watched 22 Jump Street and Channing Tatum when he's like pretending to be a Mexican, he's like, oh, my name's Jeff. Yeah, they're talking about calling the Perth Stadium Jeff.
Jeff.
There you go.
I like it.
So imagine just saying, where are you playing? Oh, yeah, we're playing at Jeff today.
We're playing at Jeff today.
That's good. It's got a
good modern name.
I like it.
Snappy.
I like it. And, you know, Channing Tatum's not the worst person to market a stadium around, I don't think. You know?
Good looking fella.
And both the stadiums are pretty well chiseled. So there you go. So that is good. After this very, very good song as well, our producer is absolutely pounding out the good tunes for your Friday morning. We'll be talking a bit of tennis when we come back.
You're listening to Sports Desk here on SYN 90.7 with Ben, Neve and Michael. And today marks the day that the Davis Cup starts between Australia and Germany.
I love that the tennis is just a constant cycle, isn't it? You know, wherever you go, whatever time of the year it is, you can always expect tennis to be on somewhere, even if it's in the far-reaching corners of the globe. But the Davis Cup is, of course, somewhere where the Australians pride themselves on winning, taking big, and we're going up against Germany to start off with. So we're going to be playing some decently high seeds in those clashes. But I think the big news out of this is, of course, Bernard Domic, who will unfortunately, I don't know if it's fortunate.
I didn't know
or
we had him in the studio.
I didn't know we had him in the studio.
Domic.
Yes, of course. You can take the boy out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the boy. And Bernard is no longer in the South African jungle. So
yeah, he has some issues. I think that he needs to work away from television.
That's correct.
Like I feel like he knew he had some issues, and then he got to the jungle, and he was like, "These issues are really prominent. You don't need to go to the South African jungle on reality television."
Yeah, apparently
to figure out. Like, I just feel bad for him. It's got to the point where I'm not even like, what a waste of talent. I'm like, that poor, poor boy. Like, something
he was
gone
so confused.
Extremely wrong here. Mm. And he needs to just, like, he's got all those millions that he's counted to take himself somewhere to the far reaches
of the world. I don't know how many
times
he said millions on that show, but he mentioned it a few times.
Apparently, before the show, he was actually going to send a text to the producer saying, I don't really want to come on. He actually told the producer, I think, afterwards, like, I didn't send it to you, but I was going to. So he had the mindset even before the jungle, like, well, this isn't really what I want. I'm probably going to leave. And, well, there he is, gone.
Happened very
quickly,
didn't it?
Yeah, obviously he's got a lot of personal issues that he needs to deal with. So hopefully for him, because he is a talented tennis player, there's no doubt about it. It's just his work ethic and his mindset. So hopefully that can turn around. But anyway, let's move to the positives.
Alex Di Manua.
He has been incredible this pre-Australian Open, pretty much. Unfortunately, he copped Tommy Burdich in the first round of the Oz Open. So he was
very tough
from the outset. But he takes on Alexander Zverev 2 days. So another tough match
Number
for him.
Number five seed.
Yeah, but to be fair, it is at Pat Rafter Arena. The Aussie crowd will get behind him.
They
so
will.
Hopefully he does get over the line there. Nick Kyrgios takes on Jan-Lennard Struff. I believe that is how you say it. Well, maybe it's not. It wouldn't be Struff. It'd be Struff for sure.
It definitely wouldn't be Struff.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
And then in the doubles, we've got Matty Ebden and John Peers representing us.
Yeah, and they're replacing Jordan Thompson. So John Peers slotting into that one very, very nicely indeed.
Maybe Ebden. Ebden would replace.
Matty Ebden. Yeah, replacing.
John Peers is a specialist doubles
locked
player.
Locked in. Absolutely. No Sam Groff as well, which
he's
retired now. Yep. So no more key advertisements with his big serve. if you can serve, great, but if you can't play, 3 to 5 sets, then you're not gonna win too many tournaments, are you? So but good on Matty Groff. Good on him. Good serve.
Good job.
Serve specialist.
Sam Groff. All right, so we think we're going to win this one,
We're hoping so. We've actually been discussing, and I think it's on everyone's minds at the moment about Alex de Meurer, whereabouts his nickname is at, because he's very fresh. He's only 18. He's new on the courts as far as what we've seen of him, and he doesn't have a nickname as yet, guys. And so we've got a few suggestions here from the outside world and a few of our own. And we want to know, first of all, your take, and then we want to put it out to our lovely listeners out there what they think would be the best nickname for the new Australian on the block. So we've got a few suggested one here. First and foremost, we've got the Demon. Thumbs up or thumbs down with the Demon?
The Demon?
The Demon.
What is that derived from?
I don't know.
Yeah, thumbs down. It's not clever.
Thumbs down. We're doing the classic gladiator thing where, you've got the thumbs down, thumbs up, so that one's being fed to the lions. The Minotaur. I quite like this one.
That's good. It's a play on his name.
Minnow? Yep. Minotaur? I like that one. I like that one. D minor.
That's funny. See, I like that.
He's small.
Is he musical?
And, is he musical? Can he sing? Is his stroke play poetic? Does it play a good tune whenever he hits it?
Is it lyrical?
Is it lyrical, I wonder? And then the other one we got is Little Leighton Jr.
Nah,
which I reckon
it's too much pressure.
Terrible. Nah. It's a long name and it's patronising.
And then I've got another patronising one here, Alex Kidd. With a double D for kid.
Oh, classic. Is no.
And a K.
No.
That's worse than the Demon.
The Demon. I just like manure. Manure, horse manure or blood and bone. I don't know.
In 5 years when he's playing bad, that's going to be like a cracker headline.
Yeah.
Manure bows out of the Australian Open in the third round.
He was serving absolute manure.
Played like horse crap, whatever. All right, we got to get a move on.
Yeah, let's get a move on.
We move on from tennis to basketball, and the LeBron James team curse has struck again. Kevin Love out for 6 to 8 weeks with an injured hand. Goran Dragic controversially comes
Dragic.
In. Yeah, he's a Slovenian, so he comes in for Love. Ben Simmons missing out again.
This hurts my soul.
Yeah, well, he's the way Adam Silver he described how he's picking the injury replacements is basically who's next on the list in the coaches' vote. So obviously Paul George came in first. Who was the injury replacement for the John Wall or whoever it was? I can't think of it in my head at the moment. And then obviously now Dragic. So Simmons obviously not up there in the coaches' votes. Should he be in or?
Well, we're looking at some statistics right now, and obviously, Simmons is
Drummond,
a lot younger.
Drummond's the player. That's
right. Drummond. Dragic's obviously a lot older than Simmons, but despite that, Dragic's averaging 17 points, 4.8 assists and 4.1 rebounds this season, and he is leading the Heat to their current fourth standing in the Eastern Conference. However,
very
Simmons,
well,
just a little bit behind Dragic with 16.7 points, but huge amount of assists, nearly double the amount of assists, so 7.3 assists, and then an incredible 7.8 rebounds. And rebounds in basketball can get you some huge points on the return. So as far as, prized players are concerned, Simmons is absolutely starring at the moment. Even though his team, the 76ers, aren't doing as well,
That's I think is a major.
Is that a consideration?
Yeah, it's a major consideration of coaches. They've lost the last three, I think. Going. Yeah, we haven't been doing too well.
We haven't been doing too well. You're a 76er.
Yeah, I've jumped on. I jumped on the pre bandwagon.
You've got to.
I was on the pre bandwagon when Simmons got drafted.
That's right.
That season, I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick. And then 20 games in, obviously he was injured. JoJo Embiid is just dominating. I'm like, I'm going for the Sixers. So I was on the pre bandwagon.
See, I'm on a different Australian bandwagon. I'm on the Milwaukee Bucks bandwagon with Dally. And then originally it was Cavs before that, but I kind of follow Dally wherever he goes. He's inspirational.
I used to just support Hard any nut. Australian, so
let's put it that way. There's not too many of them, so
I was going to be a bandwagon whichever team I went for.
That's right. But pretty stiff, I think, Benny Simmons. But you know, he'll just keep getting better with his age, and he'll be better for the long run. But little known fact, guys. Kevin Love was it Kevin Love the one who got injured for the Cavs? His father, Michael Love, was in fact one of the members of the Beach Boys. So how about that?
So fun fact for the day.
So maybe couldn't sing, but could certainly sing on the court. So good on Kevin. There you go, old man, Beach Boy, pretty cool.
All right, that pretty much wraps up tennis and basketball. We'll be up after this with our wrap up, when we talk about grid girls and their replacements, which seems to have all us likening at the moment.
All right, you're listening to the Sports Desk on Sin 90.7 FM. Of course, you're here with our marvellous producer, who is just producing the outstanding tunes today, Benny. And, of course, we're here with Neve as well, and myself, Michael. And it's been an absolutely beaut show, as per usual, guys. Always keep the standards very high in the studios. And, of course, with that tune, Ben, you've changed your pants.
Yep, pants are off. It's a pants tradition.
It is a tradition,
said,
as I said.
We had to Google it during the break.
We had to Google it, because I was just wondering whether it was something my mates did or whether it was an actual cultural phenomenon. And as it turns out, it is with 70 rock songs, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, I think it's maybe just the song.
Maybe just the song.
I'm not sure, but we're going to research it more. We may play the song again on Monday, because you'll be back in on Monday.
I'll be back. We will
delve into this further. So it's not just the Sports Desk. It's about Aussie traditions as well.
It's about Aussie traditions here as well. And I'll wear some more colourful pants for it next week. I'll be prepared. Don't worry. I'll be prepared.
Yeah.
But let's get on to the Formula One, where, believe it or not, the grid girls, who have been a long-standing tradition in the sport, have been traditionally, as I said, a big part of the sport, are now gone.
At the Australian Formula One
around Albert Park.
It's all for F1 as well now. Just banned.
Oh, it's all F1.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool. I thought it was just the Australian Grand Prix as well.
But the Australian Grand Prix will be the very first one.
Australians are too far behind the rest of the world to do something progressive first.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, well, they're replacing him, Neve. You said they were replacing him with kids aged 10 to 14, which I think we're all supportive of.
This is great.
It's going to be some really good show-and-tell content for kids. Yeah, like, they're going to love it.
Are they going to receive caps from the drivers, maybe?
Like they say in the BBL? It'll be interesting, though, because I feel like BBL players are a lot more friendly than some. Like, Daniel Ricciardo, I feel like, is unfortunately an exception to the rule in that he smiles and that he's nice and that he talks to people. Whereas, like, there's a few of them who are just, you're like, come on, like, you drive a car. Like,
yeah, Hamilton can be one of them. Kimi Raikkonen is a bit weird.
I can't imagine him being too friendly.
I think he can be friendly, but I'm not sure.
We don't really see it as much
because I remember the F1. They actually were having a London showcase, pretty much event of all the drivers, and there's only one driver who was absent, and that was Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. So that has to speak to his character. We can talk about that another day.
His car.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah,
ten
to 14-year-olds replacing him. I think that's a good move. So yeah.
Great move for the sport, and a great experience for them to get so close and personal with, you know, their idols in the sport. Yeah. You know, and I think it'll be great. And they may have to change the champagne, though. They may have to make it non-alcoholic, just in case there is any that falls onto the kids. You know, you don't want them to be influenced.
Just don't get the kids out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, start young. I don't know. Anyway.
Start them young.
Jeez. It's only a bit of champagne.
No, we don't support that.
We do not support that. Absolutely
Michael.
Not. Absolutely not. But, yes, it's going to be a change in the sport, but as the Formula One have said, it's keeping up with the modern day society norms, so it's a change in society now.
Well, speaking of this,
no longer appropriate.
Well, it's a change in attitudes.
Are we going to see cheerleaders banned soon?
No, because I think cheerleaders are like it is sport in itself and entertainment. And like at the Big Bash when they have the dancers who are like gender non-specific, like that's, I think that's different. But as opposed to just like, all right, you are like, you know, conventionally beautiful, we'll just stick you there as a prop. Like, I think there's a difference between like, hey, you're a cheerleader, like you've trained for this, we're going to give you money, this is your job, like blah, 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 like you're a gymnast or whatever, as opposed to being like, yeah, we'll just put you there and you just like look nice for the sake of it. Like it's kind of, it's just extremely demeaning.
Equally, I wonder how hard it is to actually, you know, be really good at flying a flag. Like, I wonder if there's, you know, there's any skill involved with the way you rotate your wrist or anything like that. I mean, maybe there is a bit of a skill to it. So maybe the kids that are coming into this will have to go through a bit of rigorous training in order to get their skills with waving a flag correct. May have to get some tips from a surf lifeguard or something. So you just never know. But before we go, in the soccer, of course, the Australians have appointed a new coach.
Oh, yes.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but I'm going to say it anyway. Bert van Marwijk.
I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close anyway.
How's it spelt? is it IJ? He's Dutch, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Dutch. Marwijk. So it might be Marwijk.
Marwijk. The IJ is a Y sound.
Oh, yeah. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. There you go, from our Dutch correspondent. So
I spent some time in Belgium,
which is a neighbouring country of course, the lovely Netherlands, and they have just as many windmills. So he's hoping to bring a mixture of pragmatism, self confidence, and bloody mindedness. Apparently, so he's got only 5 months to shape the team before the 2018 Russia World Cup in the soccer. Of course, he did manage the Netherlands in 2008 to 2012 when their side did get into the World Cup against Spain, where they did lose in extra time, and so he was very close to actually winning one with the Netherlands. So if he can repeat those kind of,
everybody's happy, and I think I'm Postecoglou. I hope I said that. I can say the Dutch.
Postecoglou.
He's very happy in Japan, apparently, because he doesn't have to stress about like growing the game, or if they don't have enough money or they don't have this. He's just having fun with people who are interested in the sport. So I feel like everybody wins here.
And loves a good bit of katsu, apparently, the old Anzi Postecoglou.
Don't blame him.
So good on him. Oh, you can.
Well, we'll delve into the new soccer's appointment on the podcast, which will actually be recorded on Sunday night.
Very
and speaking
good,
of that, that pretty
good.
Much good segue there by me. That'll
very
pretty much wrap up
you.
Today's Friday show. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Us
been
glad to have
beauty.
Both of you on board, Michael and Niamh.
Absolute pleasure.
Monday show, you'll be back on, Michael, with myself, of course, and you're back next Friday, permanent member. So anyway, that is it for the sports test. Do subscribe to us on any of your local podcasting app. We've uploaded all the shows now, so you'll be able to access a Monday, Wednesday and Friday playlist along with the podcast. So do like that. Like our Facebook page. We've got a new logo also.
Please
let me know about that. So you've listened to the sports test here on Sin 90.7.